Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 21. It seems that always, whenever things heat up around Israel, thoughts turn toward end times. How close is the coming of the Lord? What's taking place? What's going to happen? Don't know the answer to all those questions. But I do know some things from the Word of God. And that's what our attitude ought to be in the end times. And our Lord deals with this in Luke chapter 21, along with dealing with certain signs and indications of things that are going to take place near the end. I read just three verses, 5, 6, and 7, and then we'll go on down through more of the verses, probably all the way down to that wonderful verse of confidence that it finishes with in this section of it, in verse 33, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I read verse 5. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" We're always wanting a sign. Many years ago, what was it? 17 years ago. I remember that because it was about the time this church started, 16 years ago. Somebody came out with this idea. It was a song or something. I don't know what it was, but here's your sign. Here's your sign. And, kind of a crazy concept, but, you know, guys crawling, cars turned over upside down, and guys crawling back up the side of the hill, and he gets up to the guardrail, and the guy pulls up and says, "Man, did you have a wreck?" He said, "No, I just decided to drive my car over there, you know. I mean, no, here's your sign." Guy sitting alongside the road, tires down and you know, just flopping and all tore up and everything like that. Guy pulls up and says, "Do you have a flat tire?" And he said, "No, I just pumped the other three up." So, you know, it's, here's your sign. Here's your sign. I think sometimes we are looking for a sign. Now, we're not really to be looking for signs, but we're always interested in that. We're to be looking for the Savior. But sometimes there are things happen that cause us to anticipate the Savior a little more. But what should our attitude be in this time that the Lord is talking about? Here, I just pull a few phrases out of these next few verses and then take the surrounding things to show you in this what our attitude should be in this time. Number one, whenever we see all of these things, whenever we see rockets flying and F-16s flying over Gaza and rockets flying out of Gaza, and we see everything that's happening with all the words that are being said in Egypt and in Lebanon, and Hezbollah saying, just you dare fire a shot over here, you'll have more rockets in Tel Aviv than you can count, and all this kind of stuff, and all these things going on in Iran, enriching uranium and getting ready for their bomb and their weapons of mass destruction in Iran, and all these things. It just seems like a powder keg ready to go off and everybody's just on pins and needles, and this one's running here and there, and somebody's trying to make some inroads, and it looks like some agreements are trying to be made. And so the U.S. rushes people over there to look like we're leading the thing, and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. In verse 9 is a good piece of advice that the Lord gives us right here in the middle of this thing, that as believers, what we ought to do. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions. That's a good word, isn't it? What's all the commotion? I don't know whether it's around your house at this time of the year, the way it is where I am and in our house, but whenever you got talked about 10 grandkids and we have 13, and whenever they get together, there's some commotion going on. Things are rattling. Commotion. When you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Don't be terrified. What's going to happen? I don't know, but I know he's got it all under control. Am I going to be afraid of that? Am I going to let that control my life? Now, I'm going to behave with, hopefully, wisdom. I'll behave with discernment, and I'll behave in a way that's not dumb and reckless. But be terrified? No. The Lord says, don't be terrified. We get concerned about the things that are happening, and we read the statistics of what's going on and how people in our country, and of course we relate more to our country than anywhere else, how people in our country seemingly are turning from church and turning from God and turning from the Bible, and it's not that they're anti-God, it's just that they're ungodly. That simply means they are without God. They have no thought of God. They have no consideration for God. God is not part of their thinking. They think of themselves and their lives without any reference to God whatsoever. They are without God. That is ungodly. And people are saying this and saying that, and all kinds of stuff going on, and people are teaching all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of teachings about the Bible and against the Bible and against God. And it's just, what in the world is going on? Look at verse 8. He said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not after them. Now, don't be terrified by deceivers. Now, it's very easy where I sit and the things that come across my desk, and the emails that come to me, and I'm sure that come to you, that give all these things, it's easy to become not terrified, but frustrated, and sometimes mad. So I don't want to tear my hair out. I want to tear somebody else's hair out. Because of the things that are said are just absolutely dumb. Dumb. But I'm not going to be terrified by that. Now, I'm only one, but I am one. And the same thing's true of you. I am one. I cannot do everything. But sometimes, because we can't do everything, we do nothing. And that's not the right attitude. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. Yeah. Now, what I can do, I ought to do. But here's where the problem comes. Will we say, what I ought to do, I will do? I will stand for truth. What if nobody believes you? Doesn't make any difference. I'm not responsible for people believing it. Well, don't you feel really rejected whenever people don't believe what you say? No, I don't feel rejected whenever people don't believe what I say. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting truth. You say, well, who made you the judge? Who made you the judge of what's truth and what's not truth? Nobody made me the judge. I don't determine truth. I just preach truth. The truth is the Word of God. It's not true because I say it. It's true because the Word of God says it. And if I give the Word of God, then it's true. And if people do not respond or react properly to that, they do not deal with me. They deal with the one who gave the Word that I've given. I'm not going to be upset by deceivers. Now, I'm going to counteract that all that I can. I'm going to give truth. I'm going to give truth as it's given in the Word of God. But I'm not going to be upset by them. I am concerned, of course. But as believers, we must be sure that we approach this time of the coming of Christ without terror. We approach the things that are happening. And these things, for the most part, dearly beloved, you've got to understand this. These things that are happening must happen before He comes. And if they must happen before He comes, and they're happening, glory. Hallelujah. That means His coming draweth nigh. Don't be afraid in verse 9. Wars, rumors of wars. Don't be afraid. These things must come to pass. Don't be terrified by that. Not by destruction, not by anything. Be confident of His love. Trust His love. Believe His love. Believe His care. Rely on Him. Believe His design and His desire for us, His children. Don't lose sleep over that. If you want to lose sleep over something, lose sleep over our lack of dedication to Him. Lose sleep over our lack of commitment to Him. Lose sleep over our lack of effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lose sleep over that, if you will. But don't lose sleep over conditions in the world, in the community, in our city. Don't be distraught. Don't be distraught by the things that are taking place. I know we have a proper concern, and that's good, and that's fine. But we ought to approach this time with confidence. If we approach this time with fear, you know what the world takes that as? They take it as an evident token of unbelief. We have every reason to be confident. Now, it's either true or it isn't. One or the other. We need to make up our minds to that. I either believe it or I don't. Number two in verse 19. Down in verse 19, he says, in patience possess your souls. In patience possess your souls. In calmness stay in control. In calmness stay in control. With a calm trust in the Lord, I stay in control. Look in verse 10. In times of national conflict, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. That's going to happen. Nation is going to rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdoms. My soul in Egypt. Right now, I mean, they just went through this thing, whatever they call it, spring, some kind of Arab spring. And the ruler was put out, and now they put this new guy in, and he's elected, and he's in, and now everything's good. And now he makes a decree that he has supreme authority, and his decisions cannot be questioned. They cannot be contradicted. I mean, he is the supreme one, and now he's establishing himself as a dictator after he and his people marched to get rid of the dictator, and now he's become the dictator, and now they're marching against him because he's made himself a dictator. What a wonderful world we live in. It's just absolutely great. Nation shall rise against nation. And here's this nation against this nation. And they're rising up against each other. Why? What do they want that they don't have? Yeah. Power. Prestige. Dominance. Those things that the Word of God says they want. And they rise against each other. But a calmness. In patience, possess your soul. Don't lose control. Don't lose control over that. I mean, political leaders. And I just simply use this one as an example. But these last 4 years, you know this, these last 4 years have made Hillary Clinton an old woman. Really? I mean, it's striking how she's aged. But things like that will do that to you. But in calmness, possess your souls. Look at verse 11. In natural disasters, great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Does it seem to you? I guess maybe it's more reported now than it ever was. But it seems like every week there's an earthquake somewhere. And whenever the earthquakes, famines, picture on front of the some issue, some releases of USA Today of the drought here in our country, but it's not unique to our country. Drought in one place, flood in another place. Pestilence, fearful sights. Some of the things you see would just scare you to death. But in patience, possess your souls. In calm trust, stay in control. Now this one we don't like in verse 12. Don't like it at all. Verse 12, 13, and 14. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you. Now I don't like that. And persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Now he said, whenever this happens, whenever they take their hands on you because of your stand for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has much of a problem with talking about God. Now, some people do, but not many people do. But whenever you start talking about Jesus, it gets real personal. Because there's an identity with Him. And whenever they lay their hands on you for His name's sake, you know what it says? It says, that's a testimony. Oh, dear Lord, make me a witness. Okay, they're going to lay their hands on you. That's going to be the opportunity. That will be your testimony. Look what it says in verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 14. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts. Settle it. Settle it in your heart. Get it settled down inside. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm not going to let it disturb me. I'm not going to let it turn me. I'm not going to let it change me. This is who I am. This is the one I serve. These things are not going to make a difference. It's settled. It's settled. Settle it in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Whenever they lay hold on you, just settle it in your heart. Whenever that happens, whenever that takes place, if that does take place in my lifetime, I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to say. If I am standing for Him, whenever I come to that point in my life, He'll give me what I'm going to say. Now, some preachers I've heard quote this verse, and they do not study. They do not study the Word of God. They do not prepare a sermon. They do not get ready to preach. And they said, well, whenever God says, whenever that happens to you, you just be settled in your heart because God will give you what you need to say. Well, what he's saying here is, whenever somebody puts a gun to your head, it'll be giving you what you need to say. That's no excuse for lack of study and lack of preparation. But whenever we're serving the Lord and we're yielded to Him and dedicated to Him and we're brought into persecution for His name's sake, just settle it in your heart. God's got it under control. God's not up in heaven saying, what am I going to do? I mean, He's not like that at all. And yet, here we are. What are we going to do? We're going to do what God says.
Amen.
Even in times of betrayal. And this will happen. Look in verse 16 where it says, ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, kinfolks, friends. And some of you, they cause to be put to death. Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's horrible. No, it isn't horrible. Going to heaven ain't all bad. Just let it be settled in your heart. I mean, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're doing is looking for a door out of here anyhow. We're like Elijah. Elijah goes to Mount Carmel, has a great victory for the name of God, kills 450 prophets of Baal, takes care of business. I mean, prays down the rain after he's prayed down the fire. And Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. The next time we find him, he's sitting under the Jupiter tree saying, oh, Lord, let me die. Well, if you want to die, just go see Jezebel. She'll take care of that. We say, oh, you know, I just want to live my life for the Lord. My life is His, Lord, whatever you want for my life. The Lord says, I want you home with me. They're going to kill you. Oh, no. Calm trust controls your reaction to trouble. You got that? Calm trust controls your reaction to trouble. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's a couple of things in verses 20 through 27. First of all, you have the sign of the Jews. Now, whenever anybody starts talking about the second coming of Christ, everybody begins looking. You begin looking at Jerusalem. You just begin looking there. And in verse 20 it says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." Oh, it's going to happen. They're getting nuclear weapon in Iran. Now they got rockets in Gaza that can reach to Jerusalem. Well, almost. One almost made it there. They got rockets in Lebanon, Syria, all around Jerusalem. "When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that desolation thereof draweth nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let them not that are in the countries thereof enter thereinto. For these are the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, I know the implications of that. I know what took place in 70 AD. I know when Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And I know that they've been gone. But I'm going to tell you, whenever they were gone into all countries of the world, I'm going to tell you something happened in my lifetime. I was a six-year-old boy. Whenever they declared Israel to be a nation. I mean, that was it. That was it in our churches who believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the Word of God. That was it. I mean, Jesus was coming then, because here they came back into the land. What a great victory in the war of 1948. The war of the founding of the country. What an unbelievable, miraculous victory took place at that time. But then it settled in. And it began to develop. And began by the tens and the hundreds and the thousands of Jews going back to not Palestine. Not going back to Palestine. They were going back to Israel. With that flag over there right behind the Christian flag. With that flag over there flying above the nation. They were going back to Israel. And as they went back, people all over the world said, "This is it. This is it." And then the other wars come. Then the Six-Day War. Man, now the Jews go all the way to the Temple Mount. All the way to the Temple Mount. And Jews stand in the Dome of the Rock. And that flag right over there, that flag of the nation of Israel, flies on top of the Dome of the Rock. It was there. And for whatever reason, Moshe Dayan gave it back to the Muslims. For whatever reason. I don't know, but he gave it back. And then now, with the millions of Jews that are back in the land, and it looks like the nation's surrounding all over again, but it seems that the times of the Gentiles are almost fulfilled. It seems like that. Oh my, what's going on? What are we going to do? We're going to do what it says we're going to do. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Too many people, I'm talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, people who know Jesus as their Savior, who believe the Word of God, too many people are walking around like this when they ought to be walking around like this. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Keep your eye upon the eastern sky. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Believer's attitude in these days of turmoil and trouble and wondering what's going to happen in the Middle East. First of all, there is a confidence, and there's a calmness, and there's a celebration. There's a celebration. Do I rejoice in the problems? No, I don't rejoice in the problems, but I rejoice in what the problems are going to bring. I rejoice in the completion of what's taking place. Oh, whenever you come to verse 25, signs in the sun, and the moon, and the stars, on the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring with tsunamis and earthquakes and everything, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, global warming, sunspots that are increasing the radiation on the earth, all of the things that are taking place, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, then shall ye see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? If Jesus were to come today, are you in the place God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If Jesus should come right now, or if your life should end right now, what is it? Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell for all eternity? Which is it? It's one or the other. Now you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I'd recommend you believe God.